Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Yo, yo, welcome to another post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Yovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers defeated the Denver Nuggets 93-89 on Monday night to improve to 37-28, 18-15 at Staples Center, and jump up from the 6th seed to the 5th seed. And I have to say, what a 24-48 hour period for the Lakers, as Bill Oram, my colleague, wrote a couple of times, and I wrote one of them, with him as well. Like, it felt like Sunday night was the nadir of the Lakers season, right? Where it felt like the lowest point, and Anthony Davis said as much after the Raptors loss, where that was the sixth loss for the Lakers in seven games. They had lost three in a row on the front end, and then they beat the Magic, basically a G League team, and then lost three in a row on the back end. They were 0-2 with LeBron back in the lineup, 1-5 with AD back in the lineup, and it just felt like things were spiraling, and you know, just that comfort. I felt like there was almost a blanket around the Lakers this season, you know, metaphorically, where it's just been like, okay, let's just get LeBron and AD back healthy. And, you know, it was kind of like the beginning of the season. It's like, okay, let's just get to the playoffs. As long as we can preserve LeBron and AD, keep those guys healthy, we'll be fine. Then AD gets injured. Then LeBron gets injured. And then it's like, okay, let's just, you know, throw seeding out the window. Just got to get in the playoffs and get those guys back healthy, get them acclimated, and we'll take our chances against whoever we face in the West, whoever we face in the East. Like, you know, we like our chances. And I felt like that blanket was kind of ripped off within the last like week or so, where it was just like this, like, you know, there's no assurance that Anthony Davis is going to be Anthony Davis come playoff time. And with LeBron and him saying his ankles, he's never going to be 100% again. And with just some of his physical limitations you saw in those two games, and the fact that they lost both games and both games against lottery teams, and not just lottery teams, teams not even in the play-in. You know, right now, Sacramento's outside the play-in. Toronto's outside the play-in. And Toronto was depleted. They were missing half the rotation. You know, no Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Aaron Baines. Who else am I? I know there's one other. Gary Trent Jr. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just like, those are two bad losses. There's really no other way to spin it. Even without, you know, you can make the case even without LeBron or with LeBron going down, like, that was a bad loss. So, I think there was a reckoning, and the Lakers' backs have been against the proverbial wall for a while now. But to come out and have this type of performance against Denver, a Denver team that was 9-1 since Jamal Murray's injury, a Denver team that was absolutely rolling, over that stretch, number one offense in the league. Nikola Jokic, of course, is the favorite for MVP right now. Most likely going to win it, probably in a landslide. A Denver team that the Lakers might face in round one. You know, right now they're matched up. They're at five. The Clippers are at four. So they're matched up with the Clippers, which what a first round that would be. But right now it's looking like Denver or the Clippers for the Lakers. They could technically slip to seven and be in the play-in. And who knows at that point? Are they seven? Are they eight? Maybe they're playing Utah or Phoenix. Like, we don't know. But I think most likely they're going to be five or six. They're going to play the Clippers or the Nuggets. And this type of showing tonight, I think, was encouraging. With just everything they were dealing with, a back-to-back, they could have easily you know, folded and gone home and just given up. And Frank Vogel said it before the game, like, we're not going to go down without a fight. And I know that there's been a lot of that type of talk from this team recently, and they haven't backed it up. But tonight they backed it up. And I don't know if we want to call this the AD game. I don't know if we want to call this the Marc Gasol game. I don't know if we want to call this the Wes Matthews game, because he hit some really big shots here. I'm pulling up the box score to get into it. But Anthony Davis, let's start with him. A team high 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, including the game sealing block on Campazzo's 3. And I thought that this was the best AD has looked since his return. This was the closest he's looked to the early season version of AD. Still not fully himself. You know, I'm not going to go that far. But just overall, you know, still some turnover issues, some shot selection issues, I would say. But, you know, the 25 points were encouraging. The 3 blocks, he was a game changer defensively. Made some really crucial plays on that end. 7 free throw attempts is encouraging. You like to see him getting to the free throw line. And 9 of 19 shooting, you know, a tick under 50%. You will take that with AD and the way he has been shooting lately. He'd been shooting 39% heading into this game, you know, since he had returned from injury. So I thought overall AD was the best player in this game for, you know, solid stretches of it. And that is saying something with Nikola Jokic and the way he's playing. And, you know, he had a game high 32 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, but he did so on 12 of 28 shooting. And it was not the most efficient tonight in terms of at least his shooting. So I think for AD to have the game that he had, to hit that, you know, bucket to give the team a 91-87 lead, that kind of gave them that breathing room at the end, and then to have the game ceiling block on Campazzo, like, it's just, this was a vintage AD performance, and it was much needed, you know. And you know, you just look at the 25-7 and 3 blocks, like, okay, that's what AD does, and that's what he does, right? But he has not been doing that lately, right? And I think the quality of opponent mattered too, because he's put up some numbers, but it's mainly been against lottery competition. And, you know, the Wizards or the Magic or, you know, the Kings or the Raptors, like, those are lottery teams. You know, this is a legit team. This is a, you know, 3 seed in the West, team the Lakers might face in round 1. So for AD to do that, and I know Denver's not the best defensively, and he's going to have a advantage against Aaron Gordon or Nikola Jokic or Jermichael Green, whoever they throw at him, he has a major advantage against that player. But it was still nice to see AD execute, take advantage of it, and start to look more like himself. And I think it wasn't just like making shots and taking more shots. It was actually being more decisive and assertive in the way, you know, the Lakers running some of those 4 or 5 pick and rolls, just giving AD proper spacing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Speaking of the spacing, I think it's a nice time to get into Marc Gasol, who to me was the MVP of the game, the most important, most impactful player of the game. Finished a team high and game high, plus 17 in his 17 minutes. And Mark had not really been playing. You know, I'm pulling it up. But Mark had played, this version of the box score doesn't show me. This is great. It doesn't show me the games he missed, but I'm about to pull that up right now. But Mark, I mean, you guys know, like, Mark has not been playing. And it's not just been like he's been collecting DNPs. So I want to be accurate here, and I probably should have this pulled up. But so he didn't play in the Toronto game. He did play in the Sacramento game for 8 minutes. And before that, he had not played in the previous five games, played the Boston game, played the New York game, didn't play the Charlotte game. So looking at it, 3, 8, 9. Mark hadn't played in 9 of the last 12 games. And in, you know, or not 9 of the last 13. And in 2 of those 4, he played 8 or fewer minutes. So Mark has not been playing much recently, you know, especially since the addition of Andre Drummond. He's been the third center. And I thought tonight, I've been saying it on this podcast, I've been writing about it, like, I think Marc Gasol should be the backup center. And yes, I guess if we are playing the game that someone has to sit, I think it should be Montrezl Harrell. And I know that's a tough pill to swallow. It's a sixth man of the year. He's a very good bench scorer. He's been a key contributor, you know, one of the most consistent Lakers all season, a guy who brings it every night, brings energy every night, you know, hustles, does the little things. But I think really there's more of a conversation of like Andre Drummond versus Montrezl Harrell and like that being more of a debate. But I think you can't debate it anymore, in my opinion. Like, Marc Gasol deserves to play. And I think part of it has been Marc Gasol has stepped up since Andre Drummond showed up. You know, I think that kind of lit a fire under him, and he's sort of not fully, you know, acknowledged that, but danced around it a little bit and kind of admitted like, yeah, I've been playing better since Drummond's been there. And I think that tonight was just another example of what Marc Gasol can do. And I think this was more of a matchup thing than anything, where I think Mark maybe looked a little better than he even has recently just because of the matchup and going up with another paint bound, really two paint bounds. Well, I don't want to call Jokic a paint bound center, but he's somewhat of a paint bound center defensively, you know, not offensively, of course, but going up against two guys who would rather be close to the rim and not leave the paint in Jokic and JaVale McGee, like that plays into Mark's hands offensively, where he's open for three. He had 3 threes. You know, he's setting screens for guys, creating open shots for guys, facilitating, finding cutters, throwing outlet passes, you know, pin downs, handoffs, like DHOs. Like, it's just Mark can do so many things that Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell just can't do. And then defensively, you know, I thought really locked up Jokic, played really well against him. And there were some tough shots that Jokic hit and you know, a couple fouls drawn, but for the most part, he played him as well as you can play him, you know, reasonably, unless you're like a Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert type. And Marc Gasol is not that. I mean, he's not that anymore. He's a notch or two below those guys, but he's definitely the Lakers' best defensive center, you know, the non-AD. And I just think that he once again showed his value tonight, where it's just, I feel like there's too much overlap and repetition with Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell. And I think we could get in, you know, we could have that conversation and maybe we'll have that in the weekly episode of the Forum Club. But for me, it's like, you know, Marc Gasol needs to play. And I've been saying that. I'm going to die on that hill where, you know, like, I'll say this. I think he's better to, I mean, he's closer to being the Lakers' best center than he is to being their third best center. Like, I think he's clearly the second best at worst, but probably their best. I really think you can make that case. And I know there are some matchups where he doesn't look great. And I think people with Mark, for whatever reason, people have fixated on the clips where he just gets torched in the pick and roll, or someone drives and scores on him, or they're comparing him to his Memphis or even Toronto, you know, that first year in Toronto, you know, self. And it's like, no, he's not that guy. He's not an all-star anymore. He's not a defensive player of the year anymore. You know, he's not that version of himself. And yes, he has limitations, especially in the modern, you know, the way the game has evolved, the modern game, like five out offenses are gonna test him and test his foot speed and agility and ability to rotate. And he knows where to be, but it's just a matter if he can physically be there. And teams are going to target him in some instances. And if you have a blazing quick guard or wing, you can target and attack him. And you know, that wasn't really the case with Denver. I think it was a lot. You know, if Jamal Murray were playing, maybe this matchup would have looked, you know, it certainly would have looked different, but maybe it would have looked different with Mark as well. But I think, you know, they don't really have that personnel that was really going to be attacking Mark off the dribble. And, you know, Michael Porter Jr. can do some of that, and he did do some of that tonight, not really against Mark, but, you know, he did attack the rim tonight. But for the most part, he is just the guy who, because of his size and length and shooting, he's just going to shoot over the top of you. And some of the shots Michael Porter Jr., you know, takes and makes are just ridiculous. And really just his ability to rise and be, I think in some ways, like some of the shots he takes are like Kevin Durant type shots. I'm in no way saying he's Kevin Durant or ever going to be close to that level. I'm just saying like that unique blend of size and a hot, you know, long arms, a high release point, a very unblockable shot for a wing. Michael Porter Jr. is in a very rare class with that. And I think we saw some of that tonight, but kind of point being like, this was a very pro Mark matchup. So I do think we are seeing a very pro Mark matchup and like kind of peak Mark. So I'm not going to say Mark's going to deliver this every single night. And I do think there might be matchups where you do go Drummond, you do go Trez, or you just go, you know, 80 at the five. And that's really what I think the default should be. But I think Mark has continued to show that, especially with the second unit, and I think I made this point before, but I've kind of felt like the Lakers really had two backup centers this season in Mark and Trez. I think Drummond can start, but, you know, I think he's kind of borderline there. But the thing with Mark and Trez, it was just like, okay, well, you probably have two guys who are should be backup centers or better with the second unit, but one of them needs to start. And of course, it's going to be Mark. You know, Trez is more the bench guy between the two. But I've felt like now with Drummond, like we know Drummond's going to start. I think it should be a competition between Drummond and Mark, but it's not going to be. Drummond is going to continue to start. You know, that was part of him coming to the Lakers. And, you know, for better or worse, like it just is what it is. He's going to continue to start. The Lakers are really high on him and AD and LeBron together. And like, that's going to be the starting front court. So, you know, that's not changing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As far as the bench goes, like I just think Mark with THT, with Keefe, with Kuz, with Alex, with Wes, like he just makes all those guys better. You know, he unlocks the transition game. He unlocks the half court cutting and movement and shooting. He spaces the floor. I think he's great for THT, who all of a sudden has all this space to attack the rim when Mark is out there spacing the floor versus a guy like Trez or Andre, who are going to be in that dunker spot, block spot, elbow spot, hanging in around the paint below the free throw line, where a guy like Mark is going to be more around the arc. So I think Mark, you know, this has been a bit of a tangent here, but I think this is a long overdue conversation of Marc Gasol belongs in the Lakers rotation. And I frankly think he's almost, I don't want to say he's matchup proof, but I think he's I think there are more bad Trez matchups than there are bad Mark matchups. And frankly, depending on how the Lakers playoff bracket shakes out, it might be a situation where, like, if they play Denver, Utah, and that's the path, I think those are both Mark matchups and not Trez matchups. Like, you know, we've seen, and Frank Vogel made it clear, like, he was trying to go Drummond and Gasol against Nikola Jokic. He was not trying to play Montrezl Harrell against Nikola Jokic. Montrezl Harrell got benched in the entire second half of this game. And, you know, if they play Denver in round one, it's got to be Marc Gasol, Andre Drummond, and Anthony Davis at center. Like, those are your three centers. You're finding, you're splitting the 48 minutes across those three. it's not Montrezl Harrell. And JaVale McGee went at Trez and scored on him multiple times. And like, I know JaVale has a more skilled offensive game than, you know, I think people give him credit for. And that comes with some things like turnovers and shots out of bounds and different stuff. But, you know, like, I don't love the McGee-Trez matchup, to be honest. So I think if they're playing Denver, it's got to be those three. And I think if they're playing Utah, it's got to be those three. Like, I think I've said this earlier in the season, but like, I mean, of course, Rudy Gobert is a bad matchup for Trez, but I saw last year covering the Clippers in New Orleans, Derek Favors hung a 20-20 largely against Trez. And it was just like, he just destroyed him. And I don't think Derek Favors versus Trez is a favorable matchup for the Lakers. So I just, excuse me as I'm gasping here. I think tonight it was really eye-opening and just a reminder that Marcus Gasol, like you look at the starting five is locked in place. I think Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, those are your top seven guys. I think right there at eight, it should be Marcus Gasol. I think he should be the eighth guy on the team. He should be getting the backup center minutes, you know, 15, 18 minutes a night. And in nights, you know, matchups like tonight, he closed the game, you know, and was a plus 17 in 17 minutes. And when you think about that, that means the Lakers were minus 13 in the 31 minutes he sat. All minutes that were going to, you know, basically Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell, a little bit of 80 at the five there. But I think Mark made his case. And I know this is, you know, this has been a 10 plus minute conversation about Mark, but I think that to me was like, you know, the two biggest things from this game for me were 80 looked like himself again and, you know, was the best player for stretches of this game. And Marcus Gasol really made his case to earn more minutes and be the primary backup center, right? Like, I really don't think you can come up with a argument for Trez over Mark. Now, maybe you want to do a three-headed committee where, you know, you are splitting the minutes and maybe shave off a few Andre minutes and a few Mark minutes and give Trez some minutes. And it's a little bit more of an even distribution there, but I don't think there's an argument for Marc Gasol just not playing. And I don't know, maybe the Lakers make the finals and they're playing Brooklyn and Brooklyn's just going KD or Jeff Green at the five. And it's just a terrible matchup for Marc Gasol. Sure. Bench him. But in that case, honestly, you're probably not playing Andre Drummond or Montrezl Harrell either. You're going AD at the five. But in that case, sure, I will accept the argument. Marc Gasol shouldn't be out there. If they're playing, you know, Jokic is just going wild and you want to go AD at the five, sure. I'm playing the Clippers. And Clippers are going small. Marcus Morris at the five. Or Serge Ibaka is pick and popping like he did on opening night, really hurting Marc Gasol. Sure, I will accept that argument. Like, if there is a guy who's shooting the ball at a very high level against Mark and that team is forcing Mark into tough rotations from the paint to the three-point arc, sure. Now, I would, I guess, make the counterpoint that I think any of those matchups are probably going to be tough for Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell as well, because even though they have the athleticism and foot speed over Mark, they do not have the defensive awareness and defensive IQ of Marc Gasol, who is just a basketball savant. I mean, you hear some of his answers and it's just like he is he understands basketball at such a genius level that, you know, there are a few people who understand their craft as well as Marc Gasol and can break it down. And just, you know, I still remember, you know, one of my first questions I asked Mark early in the season, I asked him about the team getting on the same page defensively and him understanding the systems. And he broke down the Lakers defensive system just in such detail that it was like, you know, he's right there with LeBron, Chris Paul, Draymond Green, like put Marc Gasol with anybody, Nikola Jokic, like he understands the game at an incredible level. And, you know, and obviously Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell, you know, they're in the NBA. I'm not saying they don't understand the game at that level, but I mean, not at Mark's level. So I just think for the Lakers, like I just don't, I still, and maybe someone correct me if I'm wrong. If you're listening to the podcast and you feel differently, you know, I know Lakers Twitter has kind of rallied around Mark and it is very pro Mark right now. And, you know, I've been on that side of the fence for most of the season. I mean, I think there have been some times where he hasn't looked good. Like I'm not saying Mark's perfect. I'm not saying he's an all-star. I'm not saying he's defensive player of the year. I just think he brings different skills than Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell. Like, I think they are very similar in they're going to roll, they're going to post up, they're going to crash the offensive glass, they're going to take some charges. You know, they kind of go from like below average to slightly above average defensively, depending on the matchup. Like, they're going to kind of do what they do, and they do it well, but they do have relatively limited skill sets that aren't like. It's tough, as we see in the playoffs, it's tough to be a later round big man if you can't defend at a very high level or stretch the floor. Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell cannot defend at a very high level or stretch the floor. So there are limitations to those guys deeper in the playoffs. Marc Gasol can do both. He can defend at a high level and he can stretch the floor. And he's essentially a 3-and-D center, you know, not unlike, say, like Brook Lopez in Milwaukee. You know, Brook Lopez is probably better at this point. But, you know, I just think Mark is so different than Andre and Trez that he needs a role. And that's really my takeaway from this game. You know, I don't think the Lakers are out of the woods yet. They have a really tough week coming up. They got the Clippers on Thursday, the Blazers on Friday. Both of those games are incredibly important for seeding, for matchups, all that stuff. But I think with the way that things were looking, with the way that the past week and a half had gone, you know, AD's return had not gone as expected. LeBron's return had not gone as expected. This was a much needed win. You know, I don't want to say this was a must win because it's not a must win until you're in the play-in. But this was as close to a must win as it gets. I think this was a morale boost. Just hearing the guys talk after the game, they were encouraged. They were happy. And this—that's something you haven't really seen from the Lakers over the last few weeks, or at least since AD has returned. So I think overall, to kind of just end this pod on that, like I think Anthony Davis is looking more like himself, which is encouraging. And Marc Gasol really made a case to have a bigger role, and you know, again, kind of showed why I think that, you know, he should be backup center. So. If you guys disagree, let me know on Twitter, and I'd happily discuss it with you. But thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow me at Jovan Buha. That's at JovanBuha. If you've not subscribed to this podcast, you can do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, The Athletic, wherever you're listening right now. And if you have not subscribed to The Athletic, you can do so by going to theathletic.com, downloading the app, or going to my Twitter and subscribing off of one of my stories. That would be much appreciated. Thank you guys, and I'll be back tomorrow for the weekly pod.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.